And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Somebody to stand in God's way. Now, certainly, again, that is that sounds sort of daunting and intimidating to make an expression like that, considering who God is. To say that there is an invitation or a challenge, amen, for somebody to stand in God's way. Now, if you know God, and guess what? If you don't know him, if you know about him, that's enough right there. Because a lot of all of us only knew about him. Until you come to Jesus, then you come to know him. But nonetheless, to consider and to think about such a thing to say, even to it sounds almost blasphemous. It even sounds even spiritually reckless to say or to give people or someone even the implication that you could or should get in God's way.
Right, right, right.
Amen. Because God is God.
Yes, right, right.
All by himself. Amen. I mean, he don't need nobody else. And he, ain't that right? He's God and everything that goes with him. He's omnipotent.
Yes, sir.
He's omniscient. That means he knows everything.
Right.
He's omnipresent. And he's all over the place. And he's God by him. Yet the call here was that somebody, there needs to be somebody who can stand in God's way. I mean, we got folks in the world, amen, that seem like they just going to do their own thing. Amen. You can't get in the way because it seems like, you know, they're just intent on doing things their way. And I'm not talking about Frank Sinatra either. I'm talking about somebody who's going to do it my way. And let me say to you that when you have some measure of power, then you can, in some sense, in a human sense, maybe have the ability to move aside people.
That's right.
Amen. So you can have the accessibility and the capability to doing what you want. But I'm here to tell you again that that only goes but so far. And sometimes you need to have someone to stand in someone's way to keep them from doing things the wrong way. Ain't that right? All of us in here wish at some point in our lives we had somebody who got in our way. We spent some of our lives growing up telling somebody to get out of my way. Amen. That sounds like one of those old hymns. No, not the hymn, no. It's one of the oldies telling somebody to get out of my way. You know, no, but see, that got you in trouble, didn't it? We somebody even living regret right now, wishing somebody would got in our way. Our parents was getting in our way. You tried, but you were intent on going around her house. Amen. They tried to get in your way, and you still wanted to go around his house. Ain't that right? You still want to go around to that club and amen, that disco. That's a long time ago. Nobody knows about no disco anymore. The house party. Is that what that was in? You was intent on having your way, and you didn't want nobody to get in your way. But God, he has a way of in his working such that not because God is reckless. Again, no, because God is holy. He's not reckless, he's righteous. And God has a way of using means so that he can do things for your good. And so the prophet Ezekiel, who had wound up at this place in Shobar, they called it. Ezekiel was one of those who was in that land of Judah. And remember, we were talking about this when we went through Nehemiah, how God had sent the northern kingdom into captivity because of their idolatry. And those in the south in Judah, in the place of Jerusalem, they did not follow suit in terms of watching God's way when it comes to those who turn out of the way. So they wound up the same situation with them that happened to their sisters in the north. Amen. God had to send the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take them into a land that was not theirs. And during this time when Nebuchadnezzar came in, there were three waves of this captivity. Ezekiel, who was a priest, was in the first wave. In other words, there were three waves that happened, 605, 597, and 586. And during each part of those, Daniel, I believe, was in the second one, Ezekiel found himself, and let me just say this to you, it wasn't this that everybody was doing wrong, but it was a national situation. So even those who were following God, there was a remnant of people who were still following, being faithful to the Lord. But even that being the case, God came in and he put judgment on the land and not just so much just individual people. So even those who were following the Lord found themselves in Babylon. And God has said to them, because of this, I'll give you be there for 70 years. After 70 years, I'll let you go. Amen. That's what he told me. He said, now when you go over there, when you get over there, now I want you to behave. That's right, behave. I give you an advantage. It's one of those times where God gave them a numerical time, a window of when they will be in the captivity. He said, now you go over there and you mind yourself. Get settled over here. Now, I don't say settled that you won't come back home later on, but get settled over there. Don't rebel. Don't rise up. Because ironically, when you was in your homeland, you should have acted right. Now, I'm going to send you to a foreign land. Now, when you get to the foreign land, I don't want you to act up. Just because, amen, that's right. God said, go over there and now don't do what the Babylonians do. Just be who you are while you're over there till it's time for you to come back home. Now, Ezekiel was in the first wave. But what happened is when they got over there, God had begun to admit, because some of them were hard-headed. That is pervasive. Any culture you in, hard-headed. Amen. What they did, some of them decided that, listen, we're not going to listen to that. Now, see, this is the irony of this. When they were home, God sent the prophets. The prophets were spokesmen for God, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. And notice that I'm talking about the true prophets. Because you can have prophets, but all of them ain't speaking for the Lord. I don't care how much money they're paying to get on TV. Amen. Now watch it here. But watch. So when they were in home, they didn't listen to the prophets. God told them what to do, and they rebelled against the prophets and killed some of them. All right, so they get punished. You figure they would learn. So now they get into the foreign land, and they don't listen, and they don't listen to the prophets. That is the definition of hard head. God told them, go over there and get settled. Don't rebel and rise up and stay there till it's time to go back and you'll be cool. But some of them decided, we ain't gonna listen to the prophets. No, we ain't going over there. And guess what? And if we go over there, we're not acquiescing to what you told us. Matter of fact, those prophets, Jeremiah and all them, don't listen to them. Don't pay no mind to them. Don't do what they tell you. Jeremiah, he don't know what he's talking about. That's right. I was talking to the brothers today, talking about, now I know it ain't back there, but God was saying, SMH, shaking my head. So what God did is this. When they were over there, Ezekiel, the prophet, he's the son of a priest. He was sent over, and this is God, how providential God is. You know, remember I mentioned to you that God, that these folks, some of them went over there, even though they didn't do wrong. But ain't God good? God sent a prophet who speaks for him, right? A prophet who's going to speak for him, because he called Ezekiel. And he sent him over there into that land. Watch this here. So they would have a voice of reason from God among unreasonable people. Ain't God something? He'll have somebody that you say is getting on your nerves, but he has somebody that's in your midst that be a voice of reason while you acting up. Somebody know what I'm talking about, because somebody told you after you got saved. Amen. And God was talking to you through them. They was trying to reason with you. And God has somebody in your proximity to talk to you with our hard-headed self. No, with my hard-headed self. He has somebody around you to be a voice for you, knowing you ain't gonna pay no attention to him. Watch it now. God has somebody around you so he won't hurt you. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. God is merciful here. He'll have somebody around you so he won't hurt you. Oh, Jesus. Y'all don't, that's why I praise God. Excuse me. I was spiritually stupid. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. Folks trying to act, we're trying to act like we was always walking in the light. No, you wasn't. You was doing it in the dark. You wasn't walking in the light. No, don't even try it. No. But Ezekiel was over there. And what God did when the people, they tried to watch it. Now, they went over to the land and they tried to act spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? You're not walking right when you're in your homeland. But what? When you get into another place, then you're going to try to put on an outward veneer. Like, and then watch it. Then they start blaming God and the prophet. What's going on? Why are you doing this to me? What do we do? So know what God did? Just one. I'll just give you one. Because what God did, God had Ezekiel over there. And guess what? God know what's going on, not just in the living room, but also in the basement. So they would what? So when they was going to the temple upstairs, and they would bring in all the sacrifices, singing all the right songs, playing David's songs, you know, doing all that upstairs. Are you with me here? They was doing all the right thing upstairs. The priest was doing their job, you know, all that kind of business. You know, they wasn't doing all that. We get to that in a minute. So they was upstairs, all right? But then watch. But then God said, when he talked to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel started prophesying. And what the prophet does, the prophet will speak what God saw. Oh, Jesus, come on with me. Yeah, see the prophet, watch it now. I just give you a little tidbit here. See, the prophet, know what he would do? When they was watching, when the people would go down to Aldi's. Y'all know, I'm just trying to contemporize it. And the man would be in the store, you know what I'm saying? The man hold the store. And so when you come to get, now this ain't to say today, y'all know what happened when you went to the store to the deli. I know, you know, we got Whole Foods and we got Giant, you know. But see, when you would go to the deli, he would have a scale there. Ain't that right? And you say you want a quarter pound of bologna? No, you know good and well you bought some bologna. Don't even try. Now get, watch it. Now they get all bougie now. I get turkey provolone and all. Come on, no. So you go get some bologna, right? Or whatever. Now, you know back there, they wasn't eating no bologna in the Jewish yet. No. Beef bologna. So they put it on the scale, right? And they were waiting on the scale. Y'all know what the man did. He would put it on there, but other then he made sure that they balanced out. Then he charged you for what you see, right? But see, what they were starting to do, some of the folk they starting to do, when the people come in, they would put weights on the scale. So you would pay more than what you were getting. See, and so, you know, so the people didn't realize this, but they didn't realize that God was in the store. That's right. God was in the store, standing over there back by the water and stuff, and God was watching what was happening. The people didn't know, right? So then what? Later on during the week, see, that happened on Tuesday. Later on during the week, on the Sabbath day, they put on their clothes, he got all dressed up, went down to the Sabbath, they was playing the horns, and priest ASAP, and then they was playing, all right, then the prophet walked up on them. Thus saith the Lord, God saw you put that weight on that scale. Now y'all think I'm making this stuff, no I'm not. No, no, you see, it's the way we be reading it. But you go read the prophets, he talked about things that are messianic, yes, all the way down the road. But most of prophecy was speaking the mind of God to the present generation. Prophets just not talking foretelling, but also forthtelling. It's speaking God's mind about whatever it is God wanted said. And the prophet will come up and he will speak to it what God saw. He saw you in your little cheating self. And the prophet would speak and would let them know that God is aware of this, that you're doing this to your brother. And so Ezekiel was, he was in this foreign land, and he was telling them, he said, listen here. See, not only that, but I'm one more and I'll get out to it and move on. That while you were upstairs with the high worship, you know what I'm saying? Downstairs, you had pictures of Baal on the temple walls. Now, Baal is the foreign god. That's right. Baal is the god of the Canaanites. Those folks, God told them to stay away from. So while they doing all the stuff upstairs is looking good, downstairs, the priests now, not the people, because the people couldn't get in. The priests were drawing pictures of the gods of Baal. And they were worshiping them. They had them on God's wall, God's house. They had them on God's wall downstairs, but upstairs, they doing all kinds of high works. And Ezekiel, God spoke to Ezekiel, said, God said, I saw you. Yes, sir. And after a while, God said, know what happened? I sent the prophet. That's why God said, if you don't want to have me only in there, then I won't be in there at all. Yes, sir. So the Bible uses the term Ichabod. That means the glory of the Lord has departed. What that means is God, when God's people were worshiping, serving him, God's Shekinah glory, that means a visible manifestation of the presence of God, would hover over the temple and God would be among his people. It would be a demonstration to the heathen that the true God, the living God, the only God was among his people. And that was a demonstration. But God said, when you profane me, when you committed idolatry and lived with them other gods, God, if you don't want me, I don't want to be around you. And so God waited. He said, Ezekiel saw the glory of God first, and it came up, and it came up this high. Then all of a sudden, he looked again. He saw it going over the wall. Then they looked again, and it was gone. Excuse the expression, God went home.